This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes. And this week, we're going to be talking about the sights, the sounds, and the scenes of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, just dropped today as I record this. When it comes out, it'll be Friday, so it'll have been out for a few days. I'm going to go spoiler-free. The hot topic right now, won't get into that. But yeah, I'm going to go spoiler-free, give my breakdown of streaming on Disney Plus, streaming on iTunes, and also streaming the premium download on iTunes, which I believe is still streaming, and then the Kaleidoscape version, which is a download. So we're going to break all of that down. I'm going to give you my differences between the picture, the sound, all of that. Lots of fun. And I will admit, streaming is getting good, but you'll have to see how that stacks up when we get there. So the other part is, I was actually going to be doing this podcast on what I was going to title Hopes and Doubts. That's what the home theater podcast really is all about. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's get to some movies and scenes that I've done this week. Going through The Boys on Amazon Prime. Really, really enjoying that. Some great HDR over there. Doesn't have Atmos, but it does have a pretty good 5.1 mix. It's pretty dynamic. So I'm still enjoying that home theater wise. Also, Obi-Wan wrapped up this week. Really enjoy that series. Really, really did enjoy the home theater experience of that. Great HDR. I pointed out last week that maybe episode 5 wasn't so great on this season, but I think the season as a whole, the HDR was really, really good. The Atmos was really nice on that as well. Some of the top Atmos of streaming, I mean, as far as television shows goes. And Miss Marvel, that's really, really good too as a home theater experience. It's very, very colorful, so the vibrancy really comes through. Looks really, really nice in my theater. Sounds really good, and I'm really enjoying that series as well. And I'm three episodes in on that as well. So really enjoying those. As far as movies this week, I broke out Jaws. I'll be talking about more of that in a couple of weeks. But I watched some scenes from that on the Kaleidoscape, and it looks fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Also, Shooter. Shooter looks really, really nice. Especially to give you an idea, jump to the scene with all the snow in it. If you haven't seen Shooter with Mark Wahlberg, check it out. In 4K, it looks really, really nice. Sound is really good as well. Deep, deep bass. Gunshots sound good. But jumping around scenes there, I really wanted to go to that, the scene that has all the snow in it in the mountains. If you haven't seen it, you don't know what I'm talking about, so it won't ruin anything. But if you have seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I really wanted to see how that played out in HDR. I hadn't messed with that yet on the Kaleidoscape, and it's phenomenal. Really, really enjoyed that. That's what I was actually going to focus on a little bit this week, but something else stole the show. Besides Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, literally rewrote my show. And I don't write my shows. I just do them off the cuff. But the idea, Doctor Strange stole it. So stole the show. But Thor, the original Thor movie, directed by Kenneth Branagh, and that one, I wanted to go back through and watch the Thor movies before I went to see Love and Thunder in a few weeks. Comes out, I believe, on July 8th, it is, if I'm wrong. Sorry. But anyways, so I figured I'd start with the first one. I'd already messed with, around with Ragnarok on Kaleidoscape, but I wanted to watch the first one. Wow. It looks better than the 4K disc. And that's something that we'll get into a little bit more when we talk about Doctor Strange. But as people know that have been following this podcast, Disney's doing something where they're only putting out 66 gigabyte discs. So you're getting a larger file typically when you see the movie. But what was interesting is Thor actually falls under the 66 gigabyte file. So are they actually compressing it even further, even though they could fit the full, you know, mezzanine file that they get at Kaleidoscape? Okay. I say we, because I have a Kaleidoscape, kind of like I'm part of the professional teams in my area too. When they win, we win. So Kaleidoscape puts out this, it's typically a larger file. I've used the example in the past, like Endgame, it's on a 66 gigabyte disc when you buy the 4K disc and it looks great. But when you download the file on Kaleidoscape, it's 103 gigabytes. Substantial, almost 40 gigabytes difference right there. So what I thought was interesting is I thought for sure Thor, the original movie, I believe it came in at 57 gigabytes on Kaleidoscape. Okay. That falls well under the 66 gigabyte file that you're allowed to have on a disc, on a Disney disc, that is. So are they compressing these even for using the same algorithms to compress the information, even when they don't have to? The mezzanine file would fit fine. The mezzanine file that they're getting at Kaleidoscape would fit fine on a 66 gigabyte disc. But are they still using that to crop off the highs and the lows or whatever? So, something that they would consider inconsequential to the masses. Are they still doing that? So because when I watched Thor, it looked beautiful. The contrast was great. And the sound more dynamic, slightly, ever so slightly. But it was there. But then the scene that really stole the show for me was, and you can do this at home, just go right to, I believe it's chapter 15. It's the second to last chapter, because the last chapter on the disc was the end scene, the end credit scene. But the second to last chapter is the beginning of the credits. So the movie wraps up, you have Thor looking off into the sunset, and then the credits come up. But what you're doing is you're flying through the different galaxies. There's even a shot in there where the galaxies are all lined up, and it kind of looks like that tree that he drew earlier, showing all the different universes or versions when he was trying to show Natalie Portman what the universe really looked like. So anyways, when they go into that, it is it's demo HDR material. I mean, literally demo material. Like, I thought this was something that I'd seen before. Obviously, I'd seen this before, but I'd never really, it never grabbed me the way it did recently. And I implore you, if you have the disc, I know it looks good on the disc too, but in the 4K, the way it looked. Now, for me, why it's so new for me and why I'm saying even on the disc, it's a phenomenal scene, is I hadn't watched this before since I got the Lumigen. And when I added that, it's what that did for HDR for me with my projector. It brought it to near, you know, OLED quality. Near that. I don't get quite the black levels, but I am getting the gradation that you need for HDR to be able to see everything. And this scene is just amazing. It's just the way you're going through, and then the sound is going around you too. But this one here is all about the picture. I believe, like I said, it's the second to last chapter. I'm pretty sure it's chapter 15 on Thor. And I was so blown away by it that I had to run out of the room, get my son, and say, come down here, you got to see this. So he came in, I reset it, went right back to the beginning of the chapter and let it play out. And the way it played out at the end of it, my son was like, wow, that was a little bit over the top. And it really is. It's just for an end credit scene. He was like, it was just amazing. And right after it ends, then you go into the credits where they roll the credits and Foo Fighters comes on, Learning to Walk Again. I can't remember if that's the title or not, but I love that song too. But that song comes up and then just regular credits roll. But everything before that is just like, you know, title character, main characters being titled onto the, but you're flying through the universe and it is absolutely HDR glorious. So check that one out. I had a lot of fun with that one. So let's, that leads me into hopes and doubts. Okay. So when we're looking, when we're sitting in our theaters, this is where we're always hoping that someday we can get to that next piece, that next upgrade. We're hoping that something comes along, or hopefully we can get the budget to afford that next great thing. Or what are we looking at next? And where the doubts come in is when we're sitting in our room and I get this all the time, and I'm about the experiences, but I still get the questions. Am I getting the right sound here? Or is this the best picture? And we're always questioning ourselves and our systems. Is this the best we can do? Is this right? Am I hearing what everybody else is hearing? Am I seeing what everybody else is seeing? Is there more to see here? I want to know. I want to make sure I'm getting the best possible picture I can get. And even though we're sitting down to enjoy it, and whatever it is, we're going to talk about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And it's, are you getting, I'm going to give you a little bit of breakdown, spoiler free, but then you're going to go watch it and you're going to be like, am I seeing what he's seeing? Am I hearing what he's hearing? Is it possible? Who knows? And every system's different. What's the right system? There is so much doubt in this hobby, but that's what makes it great, because those doubts are what drive that hope. That's drives the hobby, really, because if there weren't any doubts and we just had the best system and nothing else could ever be invented to make it better, then where's the fun in that? Who knew? If you're done, you're done. It's like running the race and you won. Okay, I won. Now what? It's over. Okay, what do you do now? You actually have to find something else to do. You train your whole life for this race. You run this race. You win said race. Now what? The fun was the journey, was the training, was the race itself. Watching people, like if you were lucky enough to get to pass people in that race, that's exhilarating. That's fun. I used to do benefit rides on bicycles. I always tell people, if you're ever doing a benefit ride, here's a little tip. Wait for it to start. Because you know what? The great riders are going to be gone. They're going to take off. It's not a race, so you're just in it for fun. But then you get to get, especially when I used to do them around here, like a lot of things, I didn't have a lot of people that wanted to do these rides with me. So I did them by myself. So I went out and I pretended it was a race and I waited for everybody to go. Then I went and I'm cooking along, and the people that were better than me, I was never going to catch them. But all the other people, I could pretend, look at me, I'm passing them. As far as I was concerned, when it was over, I came in first. All right, cool. But my point is, that's the fun of it. The training leading up to that day, sitting in our theaters, learning what's going on, doing all the legwork, recalibrating our systems, calibrating our televisions, getting the best out of it that we can get, learning along the way. That's the training. Then sitting down and enjoying it, going to your friend's house and he's got, you know, a nice 65-inch television and a sound bar. Well, that's you passing somebody along the way. You sit there and you go, okay, I'm doing okay. This is pretty good. But then you go to a house or you go somewhere and you see a demonstration and you're like, oh, I got to catch that. Am I ever going to catch that? Well, there's that doubt. But that doubt pulls that passion out in the hobby. And that's what this is all about. And that's what makes this so much fun. That's why I was never upset 20 years ago when I heard about Kaleidoscape. And I wanted to grasp at that. I wanted to catch that. Didn't think I'd ever get there. But what can I do to get myself as close to that as possible? That's what drove me. Same with when I saw that demonstration and I saw in Terminator 2 and that that wall gets blown from one side to the other, and I could never quite duplicate that. How do I get there? And that drove me. Would I ever get there? I don't know, but I did. And then with that, with age comes some confidence and knowledge. I know I've gotten to places. You know you've gotten to places, and you're like, I never thought I'd be here before. I never thought this would be a thing. I never thought streaming when we started this, streaming never existed for stuff like it, this quality. I mean, we were downloading movies on Napster in the late 90s, and it was horrible quality, but we didn't know that existed 5 years earlier to that. And I was knee deep in Laserdiscs at that time. And so who knew we would have the quality we have today on streaming? Who knows what there is for tomorrow? And that's the point. The future is, who knows? What do we got coming? I don't know, but we can't wait to look around the corner and see what's coming next. So that was going to be my little bit of a podcast. But then Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness dropped. I've been checking my phone. I knew it was coming out on Disney Plus. I knew it was coming for the premium download on iTunes. But Kaleidoscape hadn't said anything. And I was checking my phone every day. Pre-order this, pre-order. I really enjoyed, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness in the theaters because I saw it twice in the theaters. I like what this is setting up for the MCU. I'm one of the people, I think this movie is pretty polarizing as far as the story goes. Some people not fans of it. Other people really got into it. I'm in that camp. I really got into it. There's a lot to unpack here as far as the story goes. There's a lot to talk about and where, especially knowing how the MCU operates now. We have, over 10 years, we're coming up on 14 years, 15 years, something like that. Of history, so you see how things can play out that you didn't think were important, then all of a sudden they're huge, and that's what I think is going to happen here. And there's so much in this movie with the multiverse. So when we got to get this at home in the home, I thought it's just to break down the story and analyze and watch the extras. There's going to be a lot to take in here for people that are fans of the MCU part of this. But getting into the content part of it, the home theater experience part, I'm like, typically this would be coming out on Kaleidoscape today. And I thought I was going to get a warning, like an update on Friday saying you can pre-order it now or this or that. Nothing. Even last night, I went to bed. As I record this, it's Wednesday, the day it dropped. I go to bed, check my phone again, check Kaleidoscape. Nope, nothing. Woke up 6 o'clock this morning. There it is. And I was like, download. All right. Get the dogs out, feed the dogs, get my stuff ready. And it was ready for me to watch downstairs. So that's what I did before I went to work today. Watched it. And I got to a scene I'll talk about in a little bit. And that's where I started doing my comparison. And then when I got home from work, I did even more comparisons. And we'll get to that. It's on iTunes. It's on Kaleidoscape. It's on for premium download. The premium download comes on the iTunes. I'm sorry, it's on Disney Plus as well. On the iTunes version, you get audio commentary. You get a whole bunch of extras with it. Honestly, I didn't even check if Disney Plus has a bunch of those extras as well. But on the iTunes, I'm very much looking forward to listening to the audio commentary. It's got Sam Raimi and a couple of other people. I can't remember off the top of my head who they are, but I'll be listening to that. Lots to take in there. Like I said, let's get to the breakdown, how this pans out. The iTunes and Disney Plus version are really, really good. They are, and a lot of talk on Twitter today about how far streaming is coming, how great this looks, and it does. They kind of knocked it out of the park for streaming here. And I think a lot of that has to do with how the movie was shot. I've talked about that a lot on this podcast. I think Netflix does a great job at filming movies that they know are only going to be streaming, and they film them in a certain way, in a high contrast, vibrant colors, Like I said, they probably get into the wardrobe and stuff. Like, we need these things to be bright because we need that high contrast makes HDR look so good when it's streaming. It's where like the Batman, which is more, it's just dark scenes with lots of gradations in those dark areas, and HDR shines there for a different reason, but that does not play well on streaming. You get a lot of blocking, a lot of crushing in the black levels. When you start crushing, like on the Batman, you start losing those gradations that you're looking for with HDR. Whereas with high contrast, you might be losing something, but you don't necessarily notice it because you have this nice bright scene and you have a nice dark scene and you get some nice colors in the middle. So it really plays well. And that's what the Multiverse of Madness is doing. It just looks fantastic. So, and the sound, really nice as well. The Atmos on iTunes and Disney Plus it sounds really good. There's a lot of good feel in there. You'll feel a lot of these scenes. You'll feel rumbles. You'll feel stuff in your chest and things, you know, the highs, the dialogue, crystal clear. There's so much more here on the iTunes and Disney Plus than I got in the theater. And I didn't see this in an IMAX IMAX theater. I didn't see it in a Dolby Cinema theater. I saw it in a pretty good theater. It's Showcase Cinema X Plus. It's pretty good. Where that's lacking over Dolby Cinema is in the base, in my opinion, because I've seen Dolby Cinema movies, and that you just get that extra bit of base that you don't get at the X Plus at Showcase Cinema. But it still was nice. But the intimate environment that a home theater provides really gives you that experience that you just can't get in a regular theater. The things you're going to hear that you just didn't know were there when you were in the theater. Because it's the speakers are further away. Even if you're perfectly situated, if you're in the middle of the room, you're the furthest away from every speaker anyways. If anywhere off of that, you just get closer to one side or the front or the back, you're getting closer to some speakers and further from others. If you sit dead in the middle, you're perfectly further away from everything than you are at your home. So I really enjoy the home experience much better than I do as far as the sound experience and the picture experience. So Disney Plus, iTunes, very, very close. I'm going to give a slight nod to iTunes. It seemed to have slightly better contrast ratio, and the sound I thought was the same between the two. Now, getting into the IMAX Enhanced, I would say just if you don't, unless you want the extras that are on iTunes, I would say just get the Disney Plus. If you don't have Disney Plus, sign up for Disney Plus for the month and experience this in IMAX Enhanced. It is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. It's huge. Takes up almost your whole screen, 190:1. Takes up almost your whole screen. And there's a lot of sights to behold using the IMAX Enhanced feature, and you can jump back and forth and you'll see what you're getting and missing with the IMAX Enhanced on Disney Plus. That gets me into the Kaleidoscape. The difference here between the Kaleidoscape and the Disney Plus version, and the iTunes version for that matter, I prefer the Kaleidoscape version. I know, shocker. I prefer the Kaleidoscape version even over the IMAX Enhanced version because it is that much more dynamic. And if you were able to come over here and see it, and I've put this invitation out to anybody in the area that knows me and knows this area, check it out. Come and check it out for yourself. It's not as it's not like going from high lamp mode to low lamp mode, but I'd say split that difference, maybe a third of that difference. Okay. The Kaleidoscape version has deeper blacks and brighter brights. And what those brighter brights are doing in this movie is that it's making those vibrant colors even that much more vibrant. The opening scene, no spoilers, but the opening scene, you get the Marvel logo in red. Okay. And if you remember seeing Infinity War, I believe they took it where it says studios, they took that IO in studios and made it a 10. So just to give you a frame of reference, but it's bright red. So on the kaleidoscape, it is bright red. It looks beautiful. You could see the texture in the metal texture in the logo, in the writing, right? And there's a gradation there as well that as it pans, it's brighter in the middle and it gets darker towards the corners. Beautiful. On iTunes and on Disney Plus, the brightness in the middle wasn't as bright. The letters weren't as vibrant, weren't as bright. Those are in like a whitish silver color. And the darkness going to the edge, there was banding and there was blocking going on. It couldn't handle the difference. And this is all going through my system. The same input on the projector, the same input into the Lumagen, same output out of my Denon AVR. So everything is all things equal on that point. Same cables, everything's coming through the same. But it's just not it. Not something that's happening here. That's we're get, and this is why I'm getting into. Like I think what they're doing, what Disney's doing, is they're cropping off that extra little bit of brightness and that extra little bit of blackness at the bottom, and they're giving you like what most people would never notice the difference. They don't even have the capability to see that. Never mind care about it, right? But it's like when you're getting down into the nitty gritty, if you're one of those people sitting at home with hopes and doubts, this is one of those things. There is a little bit of difference there. I believe it's 75 gigabyte. It's a 75 gigabyte download. Thought I had it in my notes here in front of me, but I don't. I must have left it someplace else. But anyways, it's about 75 gigabyte download on the kaleidoscape. So they're cropping off almost 10 gigabytes there, 10 gigabytes of information. But as I was talking about with Thor, I don't even think that matters because Thor would have fit. Like I said, it would have fit. I think they do have, they're putting these discs out and they just through the same process. So all the movies are coming out equal. On the kaleidoscape, the scene that I was going to talk about, as well as the opening scene, I won't tell you what the scene is, but it's at 37 minutes and 10 seconds, okay? So if you've seen the movie and you want to check out this scene, it starts at 37 minutes and 10 seconds. Some characters go through the multiverse. That's not a spoiler. It's in the title, for God's sakes. Some characters go through that, and they land somewhere. And it's a very beautiful, vibrant scene when they land. And there are colors in the background that are there in all three formats. But the way they pop and how much brighter it is and how much more vibrant the colors are. This is the scene that I got to when I was just watching the movie for the first time in my theater. And I went, wait a minute, I got to compare this scene. And as soon as I went back to the Disney Plus version, I was like, it felt like my bulb was turned down a little bit, just a little bit. It's like you, but it was noticeable. I was like, wow. Then you go to the IMAX enhanced version. Now I got to pull my masking off. So everything's a little bit brighter because now you have a fuller screen looking at you. But when you actually get into looking at the colors in the background, and I'll break this down later if people want me to spoil it with spoilers. But there are colors in the background that are just, they're just popping out just ever so slightly more. It's just giving you more depth. And the dark in, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch's hair, the black hair, it's just deeper. There's a darkness that's deeper there. And then I watched the scene without my masking on. So I could see the black level at the top, that the black bars that I'm getting. That's how I would gauge, just sitting in my theater, what are you getting on an OLED? And I'm guesstimating here in my theater because I go, okay, if this is absolute black, what am I missing by not watching this on the OLED in here? And if that's absolute black, the black level, the bar, most of what's on the screen is slightly, ever so slightly, that one tick above that, so that there is a contrast there. Even if you're watching it on an OLED, you want that black level to be a little bit different. That's the absolute black. So I'm getting a reference, I should say, for what the absolute black level is. And when you go to the Disney Plus version, that absolute black level, it's raised a little bit. It's just not as dark. But then on top of that, your brights just aren't as bright either, compressing your aspect, not your aspect ratio, compressing your contrast. So there is something there for the picture, and it is noticeable. The same exact thing holds true for the sound as well. The sound, very, I mean, like I said, iTunes and on the Disney Plus, very deep, very nice. But where it's more noticeable, you do get a deeper sense. You get a little bit more feel, a little bit more rumble in your room on the bass end. But where it was more noticeable for me was the higher ends. It seems like it felt like they cropped off more on the high end, which I don't think they actually did. I just feel like once you're getting a feel in that low end, and it is really nice on iTunes and Disney Plus, you feel it. That once you get that, you think you're getting the whole thing. And then when you go to the Kaleidoscape, you're like, okay, yeah, there is a little bit more there. But where it was very noticeable that it was missing was in the higher end. And that's where you're missing like breaking glass. And that happens in this movie a few times. You'll hear some stuff shatter. And that's that breaking glass sound and the shards flying off. There's a tingling, tinkling noise that you can hear, and it's just sharper and crisper than it is on Disney Plus and IMAX Enhanced. I'm sorry, Disney Plus and on iTunes. And again, I say this every time I break it down. If you had to get in your car, you watched it in one place on one format and drove in your car and drove home, and it's that minor of a difference. But there is a difference there. So that gets into this hobby is like, am I getting the best possible picture? That's what we're always asking for. Am I getting the best possible picture? And I don't think we ever really want that 100% answered, because we always want there to be something else, because that way you can get that. That's what's striving you to move on. That's what freshens your collection. I have a couple of listeners right now. They've just added new stuff to their systems. They're going to be coming back on. They were guests on the show. And it's kind of like reinvigorated their entire collection. One of them bought an OLED. Spoilers. It's Mike. We talked about it here on the podcast. He got an OLED. And he's like, I'm seeing things I've never seen before. And you're like, now you just want to throw those discs in. Well, that again, the reason I said, when I put out my Kaleidoscape video where I said, I stand by the fact that if you want to have access to the best possible picture of every movie, then you need to have a Kaleidoscape in your system. Doesn't mean that every movie on the Kaleidoscape is the best possible, but it does mean that there are versions on the Kaleidoscape you can't get anywhere else. So, for instance, I'll give you the Bourne series. Most of the entire Bourne series is in DTS:X. But on Kaleidoscape, only, I believe, one or two of them are in DTS:X. The rest are in DTS Master Audio. They sound fantastic on Kaleidoscape. But if I want to see it, I own the physical media. I could put in the DTS:X version. I now have access to the best possible version of that movie. But with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, if you want to have, you cannot get the best possible version of this anywhere else other than Kaleidoscape. So that's what I mean. And I stand by that. And I'm not putting anything else down. It's very close. I lived a long time without a Kaleidoscape, and I've said on the podcast, I don't recommend it to people. People have asked me on this podcast, when does it make sense? It never makes sense. It's the price it costs to get a Kaleidoscape for these differences. You're not doing it because it makes sense. You're doing it because you love it. You're doing it because you love the hobby. Those are the people. Unless you have bottomless pit of money, well, then it makes sense because it's literally the easiest way to buy and collect movies. That's when it makes sense. If money's no object, absolutely, Kaleidoscape's the way to go because it is super easy to collect your collection. So I also wanted to talk about what Disney is doing here in their business model. They get a lot of criticism. Why are they putting out a 66 gigabyte disc? Why don't they put out the 100 gigabyte disc like Sony does, where they can put more information on there? Why? I think what Disney's doing is it's for they're placating the masses. Okay. So what they're doing is that the casual viewer is the majority of the viewing audience. Okay. The casual viewer. So you don't really care about these movies, but your kids do. So you order up Disney Plus and let your kids watch it. It went from infant all the way up to, if I was still living at home, I'd be like, Dad, get me Disney Plus, so you can have your collection at your fingertips right there. They're putting it out in the best possible streaming format that they can. They're even adding a little nugget there by adding the IMAX Enhanced. They're giving you something that you can't get anywhere else on Disney Plus. So you can't even get that on physical media. And I highly doubt Disney would put that out there, because that is giving us, somebody like myself that wants to have the best possible access to the best possible version, I want that IMAX Enhanced. I want to be able to sit down and watch the entire movie in IMAX Enhanced. Why not? It's a great experience. Use almost my whole entire screen. That's great. But in doing so, I'm going to sacrifice a little bit of picture quality and a little bit of sound quality for that experience. Just like you go to the Kaleidoscape, I'm going to sacrifice that IMAX Enhanced, that full screen, for a gorgeous picture and the best possible picture and the best possible sound. Compromises, doubts. Hopefully someday, see how I worked all that in? Hopefully someday we get an IMAX Enhanced, maybe on Kaleidoscape, or better yet, on physical media. So I like what Disney's doing there, because to be fair, that's good business. That's excellent business. They're driving everybody. Casual viewer, they're picking up, they're giving them something. The home theater fan, they're giving them something. We're like chomping at the bit. We're like, oh, wait, you might not even have known until you listen to this podcast. Wait a minute, Disney Plus has IMAX Enhanced? Who knew? Okay, check it out. It's awesome. So they are supposedly, what IMAX Enhanced is, for those of you don't know, maybe you're new to the channel, new to home theater podcast, IMAX Enhanced is a version that IMAX is putting out where it's supposed to come with DTS:X, and it's supposed to come with a wider aspect ratio, 1:90:1, plus a whole bunch of other stuff. But as far as Disney Plus goes, those are the two things that you should be getting. Someday, they say we'll be getting the DTS:X on IMAX on Disney Plus. That is yet to happen. I haven't seen it. I didn't get to see it here on Doctor Strange. So maybe someday in the future. I think that's going to be a little bit tougher to pull off. I'm not sure if DTS:X is compatible with streaming yet, or as universally compatible. I know they do have a streaming version, but anyways, getting back to the business model of Disney and what they're doing, but they're giving something to everybody, even the MCU fan. Like I said, there's extras in there on Disney Plus. There's so much other stuff they're putting out extras on iTunes and there's even extras on Disney Plus as well. They have some behind the scenes videos on this stuff. They have, there's so much more that they're adding and giving and driving you to their content. They're running the gambit on all the entire audience. The casual viewer, the home theater fan, the MCU fan, there's something for all of us. driving us to their content. And I think that's fantastic. And I don't fault them at all, because that's what gets them the money so that they can put more money into more content, which is what drives us, more content. So there's so much here. And as far as what I expect for the 4K disc, so typically the 4K disc in Sony's case with Morbius, the 4K disc is damn close, almost, you know, nuts and bolts perfect compared to the Kaleidoscape. After seeing Thor and comparing that to the Kaleidoscape version, I don't have as high a hopes for the Disney Plus 4K disc to be as good as the Kaleidoscape, but I feel like I know it'll be better than the iTunes. So definitely you're going to want to pick this one up on 4K, because the discs have looked to me to be better than the streaming version. And the Kaleidoscape is just slightly better than that. So when I said earlier, like the differences that I see between streaming and Kaleidoscape, I know it's a small difference, but right in that middle comes the 4K physical media difference. And again, you have to have the system to be able to see and hear these differences. Sometimes you don't, and nothing wrong with that, but these are the things that are out there. These are the things that I love to explore, that I love to find out about. And I'm lucky enough, I'm at the stage in my life where I can have as close to an end game system to be able to maybe exploit some of these differences. And early on, I didn't have them, so I had to listen to people and tell me or go see demos of this stuff to be able to try and strive for those, you know, those hopes that I had. So it's fantastic. I love this hobby. I love talking about it. I hope, obviously, if you're listening this far into the podcast, you do too. So thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for listening and watching this far along. Thank you for everybody for continuing to send the scenes, send the movies they've seen. It's sparking an interest. I love this part of the story. I love this story because this is how my mind works. And hopefully it is for you too, because sometimes I'll talk about a movie and maybe you don't want to see that particular movie, but something in it will spark an interest and it gets you to watch another movie the way. So a couple of listeners were talking on Twitter a while back and they were talking about the movie Stealth. Actually, it was a tweet like, do you know what movie this is? And it had a scene and I was like, bang, Stealth. I knew that. So that tweet had sparked a conversation. And I was like, and the way my mind works was, I was like, oh, Stealth, that was really good. Great home theater experience. But another movie like that was, you know, Behind Enemy Lines, bang, bang, boom. I could not wait to get home that day and watch Behind Enemy Lines. And it was that like chain of thoughts that brought me to doing the whole podcast on Behind Enemy Lines. And so I'm hope I'm doing that for you guys. You know, maybe you don't want to watch Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness or Thor or Jaws or Shooter, movies I've talked about here today, but maybe you're like, oh, well, Roy Schneider was in Jaws, but he was in Blue Thunder too. I haven't seen Blue Thunder in forever. Oh my God, that was forever. I got to check that out. Is that on Blu-ray? Let me look. And boom, 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 boom. Next thing you know, you're ordering it up and you want to see it in your theater. That's the fun. That's the experience. That's the hopes and the doubts right there. It's the hopes, doubts, dreams. That's what it is. It's like Blue Thunder on Blu-ray. I don't know. Let me check it out. Oh, yeah, it is. I hope it's really good. There you go. Hopes, doubts, dreams. You got it all. So thank you to everybody. Keep them all coming. Keep those. I'm lucky enough because of you guys, the listeners, that I literally can't keep track anymore. You're inspiring me. You're all inspiring me. I read all the emails. I read all the tweets. Even the ones that end up blocking me eventually. I knew I'd touch on it. I couldn't let it go entirely. But anyways, if you don't know what I'm talking about, oh well, this is the bright side. But something leaked out there. Sorry. But anyways, back to the positives. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast, going on Patreon. Like I said earlier this week, a new Patreon supporter just this past week. thank you so much. Very generous support there. And if you'd like to join him and the other Patreon supporters, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater, sign up for a monthly donation, and they'll take a little bit from you, and they'll give most of it to me. Patreon gets a good portion. They must be making a killing over there just out of home theater alone. I support a bunch of home theater podcasts on Patreon, so they're making a killing off of me. So thank you, everybody. Keep it all coming. Oh, yeah. Big announcement. I should have put this at the beginning too, but this is for the listeners that are stuck around this long. Huge announcement. I might as well put it out here right now. This is how I know I don't write these things down. I try to keep notes on little things I know I'll forget, like how many gigabytes, you know, Doctor Strange downloaded at. Yeah. So anyways, this is how you know I just go off the cuff, because this is how my brain works. So over on my other podcast, I announced it over there what's going on. So I might as well announce it to you guys. Big addition to the Brightside Home Theater podcast. John is not leaving Brightside Chat. We're taking Brightside Chat, my comic books podcast, and we're going to be doing that sporadically. It's not going to be coming out regularly, but because of that, John is coming over here. He is going to join me every single Friday, unless I have a guest. If I have a guest and it's like a 2-hour part, like when I have, you know, the HD guys or the AV rant guys or any of the hosts, any of the people that have joined me and it's a 2-hour podcast, that will just go out as its entirety. But you can count week to week, John and I sitting here talking about our home theater experiences from the past week, breaking down scenes, giving you more scenes. I'm going to continue to break down scenes like I did in the past, and like I just did recently with Con Air, giving you scene after scene on things to hear and things to listen to. So I'm going to be doing that. John might join me on that, or that might come at the end of the podcast, but that this entire process is it. This entire shift is going to allow me, I think, to do that more, because it's going to really lighten my weekly load instead of putting out two podcasts every week and the ideas I have to come up with and the editing I have to do. Now everything's going, our focus is going to be going to home theater. So I'm hoping this podcast benefits from it. The chat podcast will actually benefit from it when we do put out a podcast over there. It's going to be more focused and just a lot of fun of just like something big that happened in comics. But it's just, I'm really looking forward to it. John knows his stuff. John has a projector system in his living room. We'll be talking about it here. He has a great home theater in his living room. It's a home theater system. So he's actually worried about coming over that he's not going to be bringing enough to home theater when he has never gotten into the nitty gritty like I have, but he's been in home theater as long as I have. He's as passionate about it as I am in a different way. And I think it's because of that, because he's different from me, it's going to add so much more to this podcast. Like I said, he's got that living room theater. I have a dedicated screening room theater, if you will. We'll be able to give you some, there's so much more. I can't tell you how many times John has, before this podcast, before in even during this podcast, how many times John has given me movies and scenes and shows to watch based just on home theater. So that should be happening in a couple weeks. I think the first time you'll hear him here should be July 8th. It's a Friday. That Friday show is going to be John's first official show over here. He's been on the podcast in the past, so really excited for that. Really excited for the shows. I'm excited for what it's going to be doing for my week and freeing up time. So thank you to everybody for it. It's because of you that it drives me for this. The hopes and the doubts. Am I doing the best I can for my listeners? I hope so. So I have doubts, but I have hope that not only have I done a good job so far, but we'll be doing even better in the future. So with that, that's it for this week. Have a great week. If you're not watching Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, highly recommend it. Great home theater experience on any platform. Check it out. And on Tuesday, I got another great guest. BJ is going to be joining me on Tuesday. So really looking forward to that. So until then, go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.